Camera may be gone, but mercury regulation could go global. And although the Supreme Court has already said as much, EPA could declare that the Clean Air Act gives the agency powers over carbon control. Today is February 20th, 2009, and we hope you're feeling stimulated as we give you what's been going on this week in the pollution control industry.
This podcast is brought to you by RemTech Summit 09, the inaugural remediation summit dedicated to the vigorous exchange of ideas on environmental remediation science and technology.
President Obama's administration put forth a bold plan on Monday at a UN environmental meeting for controlling mercury. Speaking at the 25th Global Ministerial Environment Forum at the United Nations Environment Program headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya, the U.S. asked for negotiations to begin on a legally binding international treaty to reduce mercury in the environment. According to a press release from Daniel Reifsnyder, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Environment and Sustainable Development, the U.S. wants negotiations to begin this year and conclude within 3 years on a global legally binding instrument for controlling the release of mercury. According to a proposal obtained by the Associated Press, the program would include United Nations assistance to other countries for reducing their mercury use. If passed, the U.S. would certainly be the most affected party, as much of our nation's energy comes from burning coal. If you're into water, wastewater, or remediation, act now and you can get your very own collector's edition piece of the 2009 stimulus bill. The economic recovery plan, signed by President Obama on Thursday, is expected to be especially lucrative for the water industry, according to members of the administration. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 includes $7.22 billion for projects and programs administered by EPA. Much of the cash influxes for environmental projects will go toward the Clean Water State Revolving Fund and Drinking Water State Revolving Funds. The package includes $4 billion for assistance to help communities with water quality and wastewater infrastructure needs, and $2 billion for drinking water infrastructure needs. A portion of the funding will be targeted toward green infrastructure, water and energy efficiency, and environmentally innovative projects. In addition, $100 million was set aside for competitive grants to evaluate and clean up former industrial commercial brownfield sites, and another $600 million will go directly to Superfund. $200 million was also earmarked for leaking underground storage tanks, particularly for hydrocarbons. According to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, preference will be given to projects that can be started and completed expeditiously. She noted the agency intends to move designated funds to states as quickly as possible. All funding will be monitored by EPA's Inspector General, whose office will receive $20 million for oversight and review. Announcements of grants will be posted on EPA's website. The state-by-state distributions for Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Funds are also available on the web. Coming up, EPA is checking out whether the Clean Air Act gives its powers to act against global warming, and two science advisory board meetings announced Thursday could potentially set this administration's air policy, after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by RemTech Summit 09, the inaugural remediation summit dedicated to the vigorous exchange of ideas on environmental remediation science and technology. Learn about the latest cutting-edge developments within the environmental science and remediation field from the world's leading experts within the academia, regulatory, industry, and environmental consulting communities.
If you're interested in ozone or smog, you may want to hear what EPA scientists are saying. EPA on Thursday announced two important science advisory board meetings which could have profound influence on the direction of environmental regulation in the coming years. On a conference call Monday, March 30th, the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee Ozone Review Panel will conduct a consultation on EPA's draft integrated review plan for the National Ambient Air Quality Standards for Ozone. The teleconference will be held from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The following Wednesday, April 1st, and Thursday, April 2nd, the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Particulate Matter Review Panel will peer review EPA's Integrated Science Assessment for Particulate Matter, First External Review Draft, and conduct a consultation on the agency's draft plans for Particulate Matter National Ambient Air Quality Standards, Scope and Methods, Plan for Health Risk Exposure Assessment, and Particulate Matter National Ambient Air Quality Standards, Scope and Methods, Plan for Urban Visibility Impact Assessment. The public meetings on PM will be held at the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. In virtually every major public address since assuming office, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson has reiterated an agency commitment to allowing science to direct policy. It is speculated that the sentiment has put increased importance on what is said in these advisory committee meetings, which many claimed were ignored under Stephen L. Johnson. EPA is clearing the way to controlling greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. The agency on Tuesday granted a petition for reconsideration of a Bush administration memo regarding the scope of the Clean Air Act. The interpretive memo, put forward by then-EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson in December 2008, addressed when the Prevention of Significant Deterioration program applies to carbon dioxide. Concerns were soon raised about the memo's potential impact on American communities and neighborhoods. The Sierra Club and other parties in early January petitioned EPA to reconsider the Johnson Memorandum. In a press release, EPA said it will vigorously review the Johnson Memo to ensure that it is consistent with the Obama administration's climate change strategy and interpretation of the Clean Air Act. The agency is seeking comment from the general public on this memo and its potential impact on American communities. The public comment period is consistent with the recommendations of the Environmental Appeals Board, which last year held that EPA had not adequately articulated why its interpretation of the PSD program did not apply to carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. This is Seth Fisher with Pollution Engineering Magazine. On behalf of Pollution Engineering and REMTEC 09, we thank you for listening.
We invite you to join us on March 3rd through the 5th, 2009 in Atlanta, Georgia for the inaugural REMTEC Summit. Visit www.remtech09.com to learn more.